45 degrees in downtown Denver. Good evening, Colorado. We have made it to a Friday evening. It is the 27th, the final Friday of the month, quite obviously. It is the penultimate Friday for me as the farewell tour continues. Thank you to just one of the all-time nice guys. The guy cares. He's a patriot. I appreciate him going there when it came to Israel and Gaza and even the unbelievable search that still goes on for a mass murderer in Maine. Thank you to Jason Hirsch for spending the hour. He's now back off to work and helping young kids, maybe potentially someday, bankroll their families with some kind of $5 to $10 million signing bonus. But again, he has given so much back to this community via baseball. FastColorado.com is his website. Coming up on the second half of this hour, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with our friend, political strategist Jen Kearns, weigh in on, I'm sure the following will be discussed. Biden, Hunter Biden, and Biden some more. Also get her take on the fiasco of late with the Speaker of the House, of course, now Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C., the congressman from Louisiana. The ground invasion in Gaza has begun. In fact, it started, I think I left the house about, 2 o'clock or so, 2:15, and it was the breaking news coverage of the Israeli, the IDF, the ground invasion in Gaza. And by all accounts, it continues as we speak, with many rockets lighting up the overnight sky, not only those intercepted by the Iron Dome, but some explosions as well. And that's been going on for several hours now. You had to know, if you're a news talk junkie, I would assume you are, that this was just a matter of time before the IDF put literally boots on the ground in Gaza. So we'll continue to follow this. The United Nations has been busy. And this is Linda Thomas Greenfield, the United States ambassador to the United Nations.
Colleagues, we meet at a perilous moment. A perilous moment for Israelis and Palestinians first and foremost, but also for the region and the world. The death, destruction, and desperation playing out before our eyes is enough to make one lose faith in humanity. How could Hamas carry out such barbaric acts of terror? How could Hamas gun down civilians, burn families alive, and execute children, and do so with glee? How could Hamas take more than 200 people hostage? Innocent civilians, including a nine-month-old baby and his four-year-old brother. How could Hamas justify taking a 23-year-old American citizen, Hirsch, whose parents I met this week? And the answer is they cannot. There is no justification for terror, none whatsoever. You all know that, and we must condemn Hamas's acts of terror.
Hamas released an earlier statement saying that this is the time to carry your weapons. That statement was directed at their Palestinian brethren across the region, specifically in the West Bank, because they are trying to reach out from the Gaza Strip to others around the region to try to wrap them in, saying that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been engaging in genocide and now is the time to act.
The head of UNRWA, the UN agency providing humanitarian relief, said the focus on aid convoys getting into Gaza had become a distraction because, he said, they were only delivering crumbs. Philippe Lazzarini said fuel must be allowed to enter.
Basic services are crumbling. Medicine is running out. Food and water are running out. The streets of Gaza have started overflowing with sewage. Gaza is on the brink of a massive health hazard as the risk of diseases are looming.
That from our partners at CBS News. Multiple ways to get in touch with us, 303-696-1971. Thank you for the texts coming into the studio. I will definitely miss communicating with you that way. Thank you for that. You can just simply download the free-to-download 710 KNUS app. Text the studio, and not just this program, obviously, but any of our my friends and colleagues, and hopefully they're your friends and colleagues too. Well, they're probably not colleagues. To text the studio, of course, you can listen later via commercial break free podcast. Jim and Kelly, I know, will effort getting the podcasts up. And welcome to our potential live stream global audience. I want to, in probably the remaining few minutes of this first segment, Jen Kearns coming up at the bottom of the hour, a couple of different things. I'm going to start with both of these things piss me off, but I'll start with the least thing that pisses me off, and then we'll get to let me just read the headline. This is the item number two on our agenda as we begin the 5 o'clock hour from the Common Sense Institute, Dateline, Colorado, October 2023, headline, a snapshot of the Metro Denver homeless ecosystem in 2023. Now, listen, it doesn't matter if you were the most unbiased, nonpartisan group in the history of humanity. Somebody would tell you you were biased. Somebody would tell you, you've got an axe to grind. Somebody would ask, where's the funding coming from? But I'm telling you, when I see things from the Common Sense Institute, and they have proven time and time and time again, from issues like homelessness to issues like crime in Denver and decay, etc., they have been spot on. The reason I say this is the amount of money, according to the Common Sense Institute's latest study, should perk your ears up, should make you, if you care about these types of things, should make you infuriated. And I'll get to that in a moment. That's item number two. The first item on the agenda doesn't mean the asthma, but I just wanted to make sure you knew this going into this weekend. Consider this a 710 KNUS public service announcement. From the city and county of Denver and decay. The press release reads, for immediate release, all caps. The date actually is dated yesterday, but trust me, we are not late on this. The headline, Denver to pilot road closures this weekend in Lodo. Dateline Denver, and the press release as follows. The city and county of Denver will temporarily close two blocks to vehicle traffic this weekend to pilot its impact on managing crowd sizes and congestion in Lodo, improving pedestrian egress and preventing violence. Really? All we needed to do in downtown Denver and decay was temporarily close two blocks to vehicle traffic, and we can possibly prevent violence. Couple of things off the top of my head, friends. Blocking traffic, because that surely will cut down on some thug, man, woman, black, white, rich, poor, doesn't matter. You're still a thug if you're a thug. I'm sure that closing the two blocks to vehicle traffic will prevent, say, unnecessary, unwanted, possibly even illegal firearms from being taken down there to Lodo. I'm sure that that's all we needed to do was close these blocks, couple of blocks to traffic. I'm sure that closing these blocks will prevent someone from bringing, say, a long knife or even a short one. Once again, temporarily closing two blocks to vehicle traffic this weekend, quote, to pilot its impact on managing crowd sizes and congestion in Lodo, improving pedestrian egress and preventing violence. Then it goes on. The move is in response to requests from residents and businesses to better manage crowds and vehicle volumes and improve safety in the area. And clearly, I'm not trying to kick anybody, especially in law enforcement. This is a busy weekend. Halloween this year is on a Tuesday. So when is your party crowd, all of those ghosts and goblins, when are they going to go to Lodo? It's going to be this weekend. You know who is praying for like an October blizzard right now? Every single G-damn member of the Denver Police Department. So Denver's going to close Market between 19th and 20th and Larimer between 20th and 21st starting tonight. Starting tonight from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., those streets are going to be blocked. One of the people, this is why I hate this plan, Kelly. One of the people, one of the most piece of shit, worthless elected officials, one of, in Denver City history. From District 10, Denver City Councilman Chris Hines. This guy's a joke and a half. They got the new one in the fine District 9, new Councilman Daryl Watson. I don't know enough about him. I just know that it's not Candy C. Debacle. And then another true POS from District 1, Councilwoman Amanda Sandoval. They have praised the plan to close these city blocks. You know what? Hey, the proof will be in the pudding, as they say. If, in fact, it prevents violence, somebody getting shot, shanked, kidnapped, hit and run, assault, robbery, stolen vehicle, close it down. Oh, they're going to bag the parking meters, too, just so you know. So if you are going to be one of those revelers tonight, tomorrow night, for your Halloween extravaganza, just realize that you're not going to be able to park on the streets there. Starting at 10 o'clock to 3 a.m., those streets are going to be closed. Good luck. I wish everyone in Denver and Decay, including our men and women in law enforcement, of course, first and foremost, be safe. Good luck. And I hope you, quote, prevent violence. Now on to issue number two from the Common Sense Institute. I'm just going to read this. This is from their snapshot, and I quote, a snapshot of the Denver Metro homeless ecosystem in 2023. I trust the numbers. I trust the people that have been involved in these things. From the Common Sense Institute, we've had bipartisan, read this, Democrats, Republicans, unaffiliated, maybe sprinkle in a libertarian here or there, whatever. They have more than, say, one narrative. But see, what especially our friends on the left don't like sometimes, they don't like the data when the data doesn't look good. And I quote, over the last 3 years, Colorado has spent nearly $2 billion on homelessness, concentrated largely in the Denver metro region. While metro areas access across the country have seen a surge of people experiencing homelessness, the Denver metro area has some of the highest levels of growth. Here's for our friends on the left. Listen to the language. The Common Sense Institute was basically extending an olive branch. They described them as experiencing homelessness. They didn't call them vagrants, bums, or hobos. But yes, the Denver metro area has some of the highest levels of growth. How about these stats? Over the past 6 years, a 58% increase in the Denver metro area's unhoused population. Past 6 years, 58% increase. Hold on a minute. Wasn't it like just a few years ago that incredible Denver's Road Home, the 10-year plan to end homelessness? Well, that was several years ago that the 10 years to end homelessness expired. Gosh, shocked. The unsheltered population has grown 247% in the last 6 years. A 240% increase in newly homeless just this year. Let that settle. In Colorado, mostly in the metro area, a 240% increase in newly homeless population this year, and it ain't over yet. In 2023, so far this year, roughly one in seven of the nearly 1,400 unhoused persons in the Denver area were under 18. Then they list things on spending. They list the mortality rate. One in every 21 unhoused persons in Denver died last year. one in every 21. That according to various data and the Denver office of the medical examiner and chief medical examiner Jim Caruso, his team. More unhoused persons died in Denver last year than any of the previous 4 years. Could that be because of fentanyl? And finally, in 2022, there were 227 unhoused persons who died from various causes. That's a 67% increase from 2018. 2022, last year, 227 unhoused persons died from various things. Nearly a 70% increase from just 5 years ago. Friends, we've talked so much about homelessness as a business. We've talked with our friends at Step Denver who do it right. How come we keep hearing that they need more money? How come we keep hearing we need more money, we need more money, we need more money? If we only had a little bit more money, if this program could only be funded, if we only had more money, they will continue to beg, demand, give you the sad piano music. The proof is in the data. Since, let's just even be generous, the latter part of 2019, but over the last 3 years, nearly $2 billion spent on the homeless in Colorado. And I don't think there's as big a problem in places like Rifle and Swink as we see in the greater Denver and Decay area. That's where most of the money is going. That is where they continue to ask for more money.
What did you say? Swink?
Swink.
Where the hell is Swink?
Swink is down there near Lamar and La Junta. Haven't you ever seen me wearing my Swink Lions hoodie, Kelly Michaels? I'm glad somebody was paying attention. I did say Swink. S-W-I-N-K, like wink with an S. All right, we got to take a timeout shortly. Two callers. Let's get first to Malcolm in Aurora. Brother, I'm unfortunately only going to be able to keep you for about 90 seconds or so. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. I'm a registered nurse. I've worked 35 years. And this is a genuine question, not a rhetorical question. In my experience, people taking fentanyl are taking many other illegal drugs. Generally speaking, in my experience, they take, you know, the whole gamut of about 10 or 15.
Well, that's because, Malcolm, it's in so much stuff.
Well, I'm disagreeing with you. I think that they're just.
Well, you're incorrect. You may have the resume of a registered nurse, and I appreciate that and respect that. But if you don't think that it's in most everything now, you're gravely mistaken.
Well, okay. This is my question, and it's a genuine question. Is it possible to have mandatory testing in high schools for illicit narcotics?
Brother,
is that legal?
I would say that you would have, and thank you, Malcolm. I gotta get to another caller. I would say not only no, but hell no. That would never happen. Now, you have, boy, this could open up a hornet's nest on this program tonight. Let me tell you, you have kids within the Denver public school system that may have assaulted, robbed, shot at, among other bad things, to fellow students or faculty, staff, or administrators. And you have school board members and you have many, many parents out there just in DPS that would say, well, Johnny was just having a bad day. Johnny needs to go back to school. So I think that's I don't mean to be a smartass about it. If you can have a kid who has even pled out to shanking somebody and they want the system wants that kid to go back into school just as if nothing happened. I mean, I would say, you know, good luck in trying to have mandatory testing. And first of all, I mean, if my kids were still in high school, I'd say screw you and your mandatory testing. Maybe then I'd become friends with the ACLU. I don't know. But that Malcolm, I'm sorry. I think you know the answer to that question you asked. I believe you when you say it wasn't a rhetorical, but I think you know that would never happen. Never. Final question, or final call, I should say. Castle Rock Jay joins us. We'll get traffic, weather. Jen Kearns on the other side. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Stephan. How are you?
Good.
Sad to see you're moving on, but I wanted to thank you for all the help you've been with our Wounded Warriors and Warriors events in the past.
My honor. My honor, brother. My honor.
It's just great. Yeah, and of course your show that you have on the weekend is
listen the final thank you the final American Veteran Show Sunday at noon, the final one. I hope you tune in.
Oh, I definitely will. So we have benefited from broadcasting on your show and on the morning show, and had a lot of people show up for our events, and you know, raised a lot of money for Wounded Warriors, and it's couldn't have done it without you know, the sound going out to people's ears and then picking up their phones or their text and sending us money. Great.
You know what? It's actually very fortuitous for me that you called, because the one thing I've actually had multiple emails. How could you leave before November 11th? Because, of course, that's Veterans Day. How could you leave before November 11th? How could you not do one final Veterans Day program on the Stephan Tubbs Show? And I'm here to tell you, thank you, Jay, for teeing me up. Next Wednesday, November 1st, we have our annual Veterans Day program. We'll just do it 10 days early.
Good. Yeah.
Give me a website that people can go and find out more about what you guys do.
Well, it's just Wounded Warriors out of Colorado Springs. And, of course, we get together in our exotic cars. We also go off-road and up in the mountains and have fun and raise money. And then, of course, maybe a warrior needs a mortgage paid for 6 months or assistance with bills or whatever it is, but it always works out great, and your station in general has been remarkable in assisting us to make that
that's
success.
Awesome. Listen, I appreciate what you do, and thank you, Jay. I appreciate you know, Wounded Warrior program for a while had one of the worst reputations around. You may remember some of the, you know, the $1 million Wounded Warrior, I'll just call it a party, that was down in Colorado Springs, and that CEO, that's all behind. They've had, and they have, new leadership. It's a new Wounded Warrior program, so certainly check it out, and always do your own vetting as well whenever you donate your hard-earned dollar. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk Biden, Hunter Biden, Speaker of the House controversy the last 3 weeks or so, with our political strategist Jen Kearns as part of the farewell tour. That comes up next. Not that you asked, but one of my all-time favorite songs. But I went to like four of their farewell tours, so I did not feel the need to go to the most recent final farewell tour. Stephan Tubbs, Kelly Michaels at the controls. Good luck to Ben Nichols, Jim's son. Final, I think, maybe it's parents' night or something like that. Final football game for Ben Nichols. Lori with news coming up in just a few minutes. We couldn't do programs like this without our presenting sponsors, such as our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. You know, if you have a receding hairline, thinning hair, bald spot, you know, maybe you've just said, to hell with it. That's what it is. Some people try the comb over. I've told you with pro tips the entire length of the history of this show. Men, do not wear sandals with socks. Men, do not ever, even for Halloween, wear jean shorts. And my final one would be, please, for the love of all that's holy, don't do the comb over, because it does not look good. But if you want to start regrowing your own natural hair in places where maybe it's been gone for years or decades, get with our friends at Advanced Hair. It works for men and women across all age groups. It's backed by the Advanced Hair Guarantee. They've got top-rated physicians like Dr. Tanya Pauls here locally, caring, compassionate care, and they've improved tens of thousands of lives by reversing the clock on hair loss. Set your consultation. It's totally pressure-free. And it is free. 720-459-HAIR. Maybe on Monday, set up your appointment or give them a call, leave them a message over the weekend. If it's the right fit for you at Advanced Hair, you'll get 250 free hair grafts plus $250 off. Maybe you can't do a lot to prevent all causes of hair loss, you know, genetic, stress, hormones, all that. But you can regrow your own natural hair with Advanced Hair. Again, 720-459-HAIR, or check out the before and after pictures at advancedhair.com. It is time, and it's with a heavy heart that I say this is part of the farewell tour. After today, one more week of programs, and then I am off into radio retirement land. One person, an individual, she has been so good to us over the years. I think the very first time I talked with our political strategist and friend, Jen Kearns, it was at the I was filling in for Peter Boyles in the morning, and Casey Bloyer said, "Oh, you're going to love Jen Kearns." And I spoke with Jen Kearns on the Boyle Show, and I love Jen Kearns. So, friend, welcome, and thank you for taking part in our final few shows.
Hey, you're welcome. Just for you, I wore jean shorts, and of course, I have a comb over always.
I knew you would. What about the socks and sandals?
Well, no, it's more like cowboy boots. I got to keep the like redneck white trash persona.
Oh, you little Oklahoma! Yeah. Now, are you an Oklahoma native?
I am. I was born and raised there. And even though I'm in New York City, it's like a Pace Picante commercial every day here. People say, you live where?
New York City! What city were you born or town were you born in Oklahoma?
I was born and raised in Oklahoma City and went to, just one of the best high schools in Oklahoma City. The best high school in Oklahoma City. I was co-captain of the pom-pom squad.
Nice.
So my whole upbringing was like, you know, Friday Night Lights and All-American Squad. That's why my radio show ended up with that name. So just had the most, you know, pro-America upbringing I could think of.
No, you're a true patriot. You are, Jen Kearns, you are a true patriot without a doubt. Listen, part of the reason I wanted to have you on was the farewell tour and to say thank you to you for being so good to the program. But there's just a few things going on. I mean, you know, you leave the captain of the pom-pom squad and then you do get to New York City, but you do stuff in California. You get into politics, and I don't know, for somebody like you, there's seemingly, since maybe 2016, you're never short of stuff to talk about. How's it been? Like, overall, take an overview of what you do.
Well, it's been pretty wild, you know. In that time period, I was also a TV producer for Fox News. In fact, that was my job. That's why I left Colorado, because I got hired away. And, you know, we used to sit and look at each other in the Fox News control room and say, is there going to be a slow news day soon? And, you know, 10 years later,
the answer, no.
No, the answer is no, because that was 2013 was the Colorado recalls, and here we are exactly 10 years later.
A decade,
And I can't believe it. It's been 10 years since that. So, no shortage of crises. And look, I think it's going to get to the point where it starts to affect the current president, Joe Biden. You now have a Democrat, the founder of Belvedere Vodka, a popular guy in the Democrat Party who's an entrepreneur, who's business-minded, who's, you know, as smart as a whip guy, taking a shot now at President Joe Biden.
That's
and I
right.
think this is going to get interesting. We thought it was going to be RFK, you know, RFK Jr. taking a run at it, but it's not. It could actually be the sleeper cell. Now, I'm not suggesting the guy could win, but as a political strategist, I always look at this and say, this is going to change the way that Joe Biden moves and maneuvers in the presidential race. It's going to change how he campaigns. And we've already started to see, right, he's not going to campaign from the basement this time like he did in 2020. They've figured out a way to make him be everywhere, but still in a position where he's not really taking questions. His White House press secretary, KJP, is not really taking questions, or she really on an average day has a 180 view of what's actually coming out of the White House and the president officially. So that kind of gives you some clues as to where this presidential race is going to go. I think it's going to get pretty interesting.
Jen Kearns is our friend of the program and political strategist, and we'll make sure to get your social media footprint and ID card, so to speak, out before we say goodbye. So I guess you're talking Biden. So I find, and I understand, and you do as well, you understand how the news cycles work. The news cycles work of the next big story. And for a while, the Hunter Biden in the maybe waning days of summer 2023, the Hunter Biden story maybe got more attention than maybe, well, quite frankly, in my estimation, ever. And then over the last, you know, month, of course, I understand, again, and so do you, the news cycles, it is Israel, it is Gaza. Now it's even, you know, the last, sadly, the last parts of 3 days, It's about a manhunt for a mass killer in the state of Maine. Are we going to see, are we going to see the Hunter Biden story, in your estimation, resurface as when they, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the mainstream media, they just can't avoid it anymore?
Well, yes and no. To some extent, the Republicans, I think, have done a great job. And believe it or not, I know a lot of your audience doesn't like Kevin McCarthy, but Kevin McCarthy appointed Representative James Comer into that position. And they have been making a lot of progress getting, you know, 50,000 plus pages of the Biden family bank account, things of that nature. So they've been doing good work. But I always tell Republicans this, they always have this temptation, right? Let's leak it out in a slow drip. We really know what the Bidens did, but let's release a little bit here and a little more next week. You can't do that. It's like a trial, right? It's got to be like the OJ trial, where every day you're putting out information. The murder board is up there. You got to blow up big checks. You got to blow up, you know, the big sweepstakes size checks and have Biden's signature on there and his brother's signature on there. You got to make a case to the American people, and they're not doing that. And you hit the nail on the head. They're not doing that in a really busy news cycle, and all of that stuff, I think, is going to get lost.
Yeah, it gets, Jen, it gets diluted. You know, one guy who I thought, it's almost the Speaker of the House mess has been embarrassing for me as a conservative. I would hope that I'm not alone. But one of the guys that I thought, yes, Jim Jordan, I love the way he speaks. I love the way he's aggressive. I care, but I really don't care politically. If politically he's a bully, I don't care. I want the best man or woman in the position of Speaker of the House. So it's not Jim Jordan, but he continues to, I saw him last night on Hannity. He continues to pound the gavel for the Hunter Biden case. I want to switch with a little bit of sound. Your thoughts on this guy as the new Speaker of the House.
What we need in this country is more hope. The people have lost their faith in our institutions. Their faith is at an all-time low.
What do you think of, from Louisiana, Congressman Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House?
Who? And I mean that as a rhetorical question. Who? I mean, look, here's the reason that Mike Johnson got elected to the speakership finally. You saw when they came back for the Johnson vote how solemn the House was, right? It's a whole different experience when you have 220-plus people held hostage. You have war breaking out. You had us bombing Syria last night. We are now engaged in a war, whether we like to admit it or not. And that is part of the reason that Johnson was elected. But the other part, the backstory that people don't know, is that Kevin McCarthy's name was legitimately, seriously being floated as the potential to come back and step into that speaker's role. And McCarthy was negotiating as of the time that Johnson was being put up. He was even nominated by Kevin McCarthy. Yet Kevin McCarthy behind the scenes was negotiating to come back, and to come back only under one condition, that the rule that one caucus member could recall him be dropped, and then he would take the caucus into the 2024 season. But look, here's the thing. I think we lost when we lost McCarthy, and this has a little bit to do with your question of Mike Johnson. The one thing I liked about Kevin McCarthy, when I'm in the state of Colorado during a midterm election season, which isn't as sexy as a presidential campaign, right? A lot of people don't pay as much attention. Kevin McCarthy was always there crisscrossing the states. And he raised over one-third of $1 billion with a B for the 2022 midterms. Mm. And if you think Mike Johnson's going to be able to do that, he has zero name ID, zero experience hopping on a plane every 4 hours. That was something that Kevin McCarthy, whether you liked him or not, whether you were conservative enough, you know, if he was conservative enough for you or not, that's the one thing McCarthy delivered. And he doled out that money to both moderate and conservative candidates so each person could win in their own unique district. Mm. I really think it's going to be a while before we see that again from the Speaker of the House on the GOP side.
Political strategist Jen Kearns, final minute and a half or so, but one thing here on this program in the state of Colorado, boy, have a lot of people had pretty adamant positions and opinions about Colorado's Ken Buck from House District 4 here in the state. Is that more of a Colorado thing? Or are you hearing about, certainly with the votes? I mean, I think twice at least Ken Buck, you know, nominated Tom Emmer to be the Speaker of the House. Is Ken Buck getting the national attention? I don't even know that he may want. Maybe he doesn't want it, but are you hearing a lot about that name lately?
Yeah, look, it is bubbling up to the surface. I'm hearing about it in New York and D.C. I'm like, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah.
look, if you go by the rule that there's no such thing as bad press, last week was a very good week for Ken Buck.
He's on CNN or MSNBC. I mean, hours a day.
I mean, you can't make it up. Politics does make strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
But look, he knows his district. He obviously, I hope he read his poll numbers and knows his district well enough to know how far outside of those bounds he could go. I'm sure he's being instructed by his poll numbers and advisors, but I don't know. It was very strange to see him throw his support behind a person who was looking to get rid of the Electoral College, wants to go to a popular vote. That's a far stretch from the Ken Buck we remember from the 2013 recall.
Amen.
Right. Interesting times for
sure. How can people follow you on social?
At All American Jen and at All American Radio, and they can listen to episodes anytime at allamericanradio.com.
Allamericanradio.com, All American Jen on Twitter/X. Thank you, friend, for being part of the farewell tour, and thank you for your contributions over the years. It's greatly appreciated.
Hey, thanks so much for all you've done for talk radio and the city of Denver. Your coverage of Antifa, your documentary work. I know that stuff is not easy in addition to your, you know, regular job. So the city is grateful. Not all the city. I'm sure some people are glad to see you go.
Not all the city.
Compliment.
Right. Maybe some. Thank you. Jen Kearns, political strategist, just a gift every time she's on the program. We'll take a break. Lori's News standing by. This is 710 KNUS. We wrap up the second hour on this. Hey. Kelly Michaels with me until 7 o'clock or just before. It's such a good song. But we don't want to make the attorneys any more angry at me. This is the penultimate Friday of the Steph and Tubbs Show. Next week, my final week on radio, and we've got a great program. I just wanted to preview a couple of things. First, I'm going to jump ahead to next hour. Next hour, I'd love to hear from you. We're going to talk ground invasion in Gaza, led by the IDF. We're going to there's not a lot of information. I can't believe that we have a mass killing, the latest mass shooting in this country. 18 dead, 13 wounded, the killing fields, if you will, a bowling alley and a bar and grill. And the mass murderer is still, as we speak, on the loose. So next hour, we'll do a little talking about that. Welcome your phone calls. Thank you for the texts that have come in. So there is a slight change. So today, in the 6 o'clock hour, was supposed to be the final film review of the Steph and Tubbs Show. And it was, I thought I was being nice, but it's also a great suggestion. Producer Jim suggested from 2018, The Catcher Was a Spy. And I've actually previewed this. It's based on a true story. I've done this story on a past episode of the American Veteran Show, which, by the way, the final American Veteran Show this Sunday, right here on this very radio frequency, noon on Sunday, the final American Veteran Show. Please tune in, please. But Jim has gone to be dad, and so why would I do a film review? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The film review, the final one for this program, will be Monday at about 6:45. So if you did cram it in and watch this week thinking we would review it on Friday evening, I have fully and utterly failed you. But if you didn't and you want to watch a movie this weekend, then we'll talk about it on Monday. You can do that. The Catcher Was a Spy from 2018, starring Paul Rudd. And as Jim has said all week, you can get that for free on Tubi. Next week, I'm going to need your help. We may start my request for your help even next hour. I want to go over what you feel and what I feel. What were the top 10 stories that we covered here on this program over nearly 6 years? The top 10 stories. I've got a list, and it's longer than 10. But things like the bomb cyclone. Certainly the second night of the back-to-back-to-back-to-back riots in Denver and Decay. I also want to focus on the top 10 foils of this program. The top 10, we hate them, they hate us, or more importantly, I hate them, they hate me, because I don't want to get you into a mess. But the top 10 stories we've done in nearly 6 years, the top 10 foils. We've got a Halloween surprise on Halloween, turkey awards and a turkey shoot next week. What I'm trying to tell you is don't go anywhere. One more hour this week, one full week next. Stay with us. News is next.